Hey guys, it's been a long time, but before I play this next episode, I have a few apologies to issue. And the first one is, sorry about today's sound quality. I'm using a mic that that's not my mic of choice, but my other one is damaged. So until then, I'll be using this one because it's broke week. And the second apology I wanted to say is to everyone, and that's for not uploading for the past 4 weeks. 4 weeks. And initially I just got lazy, and then it kind of turned into self-doubt, and then I realized who the fuck I was. No, but really, I kind of lost sight of what I wanted to do with the podcast, and yeah, the self-doubt really did kick in. But I also found that I didn't know what to talk about next. Like, I felt like I had talked about everything that I set out to talk about in just 6 episodes, which is weird. But in saying that, I also went to Melbourne and was supposed to record a couple of episodes with my friends over there, but then I just hung out, and yeah, I hadn't been back there for 5 years and hadn't seen a lot of my friends in that time, so it was good to catch up with them. But before I start for real, I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm on Pacific Wave Radio now as a co-host with Kimaya. Our show is 4 p.m. every Thursday on 98.1 FM, or you can listen on the 4EB website and also on the TuneIn app. So yeah, if you're outside of Brisbane, you can use the app or the website, but be sure to check us out. And I've met some really amazing people, and Kamaya's cute as well. But yeah, that's just been an amazing blessing that I've been given, and I hope I do well, and yeah, I hope to meet more amazing people on the way. Hi everyone, welcome back to Queer Coco. I'm Beleve Mosso, and I'm your host. I saw a post on Instagram a couple of weeks ago that really triggered me, that was written by a beautiful Pacifica trans woman from Auckland. To protect her privacy, I won't name her because she has since deleted the post. But there was a small part of this post that really resonated, and I'll read that for you now. She said, "Being a believer in Christ and wearing my sin in the open isn't exactly the easiest thing to do." I'll read that again. "Being a believer in Christ and wearing my sin in the open isn't exactly the easiest thing to do." It was a really small part of her caption, but it really resonated with me because my queerness is very visible, and it's always been. It's also been the cause of many of my least favorite experiences in church. Apart from politics, there were so many things that I didn't enjoy about church. Like school, kids weren't all that nice, but unlike school, adults charged with your care weren't very nice either. I know that as parents, I'm not one myself. You put a lot of trust into people that are taking care of your kids when you're not around. So it's pretty sad that grown people feel safe to mock a kid for the way they act. Just walking past people the wrong way, with your hand out the wrong way, your hips moving the wrong way, would be enough to score you some laughs. And it was never with you, it was always at. I must say though, the kids were okay. And of course there were like a handful of them that were nasty, but that's to be expected. They're fucking kids. With these traumatic experiences happening in church, I don't think that it's a coincidence that I now choose to not attend. It's funny because I do have a podcast, and that's very, like, my voice is what's driving it. But I really hated my voice growing up. It really gave me away, and it wasn't just my tone, it was like my delivery. And I remember always hearing snickering in the audience during a long monologue that I'd give during White Sunday. I got so used to people laughing as soon as I let out my first syllable. I think within our Pasifika community, mocking is normal. But a lot of the times I find when our people are mocking Fafafinge, they don't see our humanity. They look at us as if we're caricatures or we're cartoon characters. What's also sad is these bad experiences were not only at the hands of other church members, but also my dad. I remember a few times when he would see me hanging out with a group of girls during practice. He'd approach me and would walk me over to the boys and told me that I was a boy and not a girl. I remember how I felt every time that happened, and it feels like someone caught you doing something you shouldn't have, and now you have to go and tell everyone what you did. That's probably a shitty example, but you get it, I think. He was always really subtle. He never made a scene in these times. And I don't think anyone really noticed except me. But I do remember it like it was yesterday. I think part of my dad's reasoning for doing this was because, oh hell no, not my firstborn son. But it was mostly because of what other members would think of him as a parent. The reason is not exclusive to being a parent of a gay kid, but can be applied to all aspects of church life. I remember my dad trying to dress me in really masculine clothes and sometimes tried to dress me like him, which if you ask me, wasn't very masculine because he's quite metro. But I digress. Being visibly queer is obviously really hard, and these are my experiences. I can't date the guys that I'm into because those guys only want to be with guys they can pass off as their bros to their family and friends. It's difficult because everything you do, from the way you walk to the way you hold a fork, is scrutinized and pulled apart by everyone. It's also really hard because some of your family members try to offer you unsolicited advice on how to be more masculine. Lift your shoulders up, don't close your legs when you sit. Wear it like this and not like that. What's sad is, even if feminine men do marry women, it doesn't end there. I can go on and on about how just because a man is very effeminate doesn't make him gay, which is true. So even if he was to be with a partner of the opposite sex, he's still gay, right? Because it's a choice, eh? There are some other things that have happened in church while I've been an adult. And that one example is, I think I've brought this up in another episode, and this was other people weaponizing my queerness against my parents. So say they had a disagreement with my parents or they didn't like them, somehow this would come up. I think even when we're having family talks, sometimes my dad has brought up how people at church commend them on how they handle me like I'm some sort of animal, and they say things like, you're so lucky to have us because we're so accepting. And of course I am. Of course I'm lucky that my parents are not like most Samoan parents and didn't kick me out. But in saying that, it just goes back to that unconditional love that parents should have and are always talking about. I kind of just went to end the podcast and then I just thought of something else. And that was also to do with wearing your queerness and how it's unsafe for a lot of us. So one of my sisters, whenever we go out to the clubs or anything and she tells her parents, she does tell me that her parents tell her to look after me because it's a really sad, bad, horrible world that we live in, that you could get beat up because you don't act the way people want you to act. And maybe I was a little hard on my dad earlier, but maybe that has something to do with him trying to make me appear more masculine or just trying to put me with the boys all the time. Maybe he fears for my, no, I know he fears for my safety a lot. And I think just like our sexuality, there is a misconception that the way I act is put on and it's also a choice, which is, it's not. It's just like you having certain personality traits. And these are mine. Like, I'm just them AF. I think also there are times where I don't feel safe going to certain places because of the fear of being, of not passing, if that makes sense. And if for some reason I have to go to this place and there's no way around it, I am extremely quiet. I don't say a word unless I'm spoken to, and that's a really sad and unhealthy way to live. I'm going on 30 and I still operate this way. So just quickly, I wanted to go off topic a little bit. Kind of relates to church, kind of doesn't, but this is for my people that are getting married who have gay best friends of the opposite sex or the same. Far too often I've seen your supposed gay best friend not in your wedding line but sitting at a table like a normal regular schmegular friend, and this may be okay for some, like, get your life, but and I'm kind of grateful that I've met most of my really close friends after their weddings, but it's still a fear of mine that I won't be in that wedding line. And I know it's your day, I know that it's nothing to do with me, but I've seen people put people they don't even like in their wedding line in place of this supposed best friend. I understand there's church protocols and things like that, but you don't have to put them in your wedding party. Like, I'm sure your groom would understand, I'm sure the bride would understand. I just find it so mean when people do that. And I think for me, it brings up a lot of childhood shit that that happened, like just being left out of stuff because all your friends are girls. I hope that makes sense, because I've seen girls put people in their wedding lines because of the aesthetic that they're after, and also your gay best friend knows that you don't fuck with half of them. So I'm just saying, be considerate. Even if they're not in your wedding party, make them part of your wedding day. Okay, so back on topic. So I don't go to church, so we've established that, but I don't think that makes me any less of a Christian because I don't attend. And of course you could argue, well, don't go to church for the people, go for yourself. But as someone that's grown up in the Efakasa church that was there every single day of the week, it's easier said than done. I think my parents are guilty of this, I've been guilty of this. I've gone into churches saying, nope, I'm just going on Sunday and that's it. And then I end up liking the people too much and then, yeah, I get stuck. I've also gotten close to some girls that proclaim to be my sister and I've done the same back. But I've come to find out that they're against gay marriage. And that's okay. I've learned with this podcast that I have to be okay with people having their own opinions and it won't match mine. And I'm not saying don't hang out with people who don't have the same opinion as you. But it's just that opinion that I just can't. I just can't deal with it, because what you're saying essentially is I, equally a human, should not be afforded the same rights as you as a human. And what's sad is I can't even quote like a Bible scripture or anything, even though I went to church for most of my life. Which leads me to something else, and that is, I've never really felt at home in a church, and I've never really felt a launga or the sermon. I've never felt it the way some other people feel it. Does that make sense? I've never gone home and been like, wow, today's service was amazing. Hand on heart, I can't say that. Maybe it's because the way I grew up going to church every day, it just feels like a chore and it feels like I just have to get it over and done with, and I just block it out. I don't even remember a lot of what happened. So this kind of brings me to the end, and to sum it all up, no, I don't think you need to go to church to be a good Christian. I do think you have to be a good person to be a good Christian, but I don't think that attending church service every Sunday makes you a good Christian. And in saying all of this, it doesn't mean to say that I don't think I'll ever go back to church. I just haven't found the right one for me. I'm not actively looking, but everyone has the right to change their mind. And I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. I do have a relationship with God and my faith is very strong despite me not going to church. And I know I have my flaws. I know I'm a shady bitch sometimes, but for the most part, I think I am a good person. And I think in life, that's all we want our kids to be. And I think when we get to those pearly gates, I don't think that they'll be saying your church count, maybe your body count, but definitely not your church count. Thank you so much for listening today. I know it was a really short one, but I think I've covered everything that I could. But in saying that, I can go deeper, just ask your mom. But if you're listening and you feel like we could have like a chat about it and record it for an episode to kind of expand upon this, please reach out to me. Like, I'm always open to having guests, because it's so much easier to have guests on than it is to talk to myself. But yeah, until next time, bye.